Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. This is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and so for that purpose and that reason, we're going to talk about the sanctity of human life and what God thinks about the sanctity of human life, what God thinks about His creation. And I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, before I start today, that if you have been involved in any abortion in any way, shape, or form, as one who has had an abortion performed on her, or even as a man who is encouraged or in some way supported or asked for someone to have an abortion, I want you to know there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Jesus does not condemn you. He came to set the captives free. He came to release you from all condemnation. And so if that is a part of your past and a part of your history, and even if nobody else knows about it besides you, I want you to know God knows about it, and He has forgiven you. If you have asked Him, He has forgiven you, and He wants to release you from carrying the burden of those who have had abortions. He wants you to be released from carrying the burden if you have encouraged or paid for an abortion. And so I just want you to know that there is no condemnation. What I'm speaking today in terms of the teaching today has to do with preventing future abortions, and also for those who have questions about abortion. What does God say about abortion? How does God feel about it? How does God feel about His creation? I want you to know that that is what the teaching is for today, and not to condemn anyone in any place or any time who has had an abortion. If you have had an abortion, or you have encouraged someone to have an abortion, I ask you today, and so does the Lord, to get down on your knees and just ask the Lord to forgive you, to repent of your lack of understanding and a lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. To just repent of your actions, ask the Lord to forgive you, and then vow not to do it again, and the Lord will be faithful and true to forgive you. He will be faithful and true to set you free from the burden of guilt and shame that you carry. And so I just pray that you get down on your knees if you're in that situation where you have not dealt with the Lord over your actions regarding abortion. I pray that you get down on your knees and you repent and you ask the Lord to forgive you, and then you go about and you go in the healing that the Lord has given you. Well, if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Genesis 1, verse 26. And we're going to talk about how God gave Adam and Eve the authority to create in His image. And in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so you'll notice there, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And so Jesus Christ was sitting at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit was there. And God said, "Let us create man in our image." And so Jesus Christ was, when He came to the earth, He was created also in the image of God. He said, I am in the image of God. I am in the likeness of God, my Father. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And so God created man in the image of Himself. In verse 27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And verse 28, God said to them and blessed them, and He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so God created Adam and Eve. He created them male and female, and He blessed them, and He said, be fruitful and multiply. And so God gives us the authority, not just the authority, but He gives us the way and the blessing to have children. God is the one that allows children to be born. God is the one who gives the blessing and imparts life into children. And into that womb, He imparts His life. He imparts His spirit and His breath. And God is the one who gives conception. If without a God, there is no conception. Without God's blessing, there is no conception. Without God's breath into that womb and God's spirit into that cell, into that little tiny cell, there is no life. And so in Genesis 2:7, it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, or some translations say man became a living soul. And so God formed man. There is no life. Understand that when God creates, it is his intention, it is his declaration that that life be born, that life be created. And without God's blessing on it, without God breathing the spirit of life into that being, there is no life there. And so every baby born, every baby even in the womb, before it is born, has been blessed by the Lord, has been authorized by the Lord, has been given nostrils and the breath of life into his little life. And so conception is the starting point for life of a human being. Conception is the point at which God says that that living being then shall be born and shall grow into that human person that I have authorized, that I have declared and spoken over, and that I have given my breath and my blessing. Well, we know that the wickedness covered the earth. It tells us in Genesis 6 that the earth was so wicked that God decided to wipe out. He was sorry he created man, and so he decided to wipe out all the wickedness except for Noah and his family. And so he authorized Noah and instructed him to build an ark. And at the end of the period of time when the ark saved Noah and his family, at that end of period of time, when it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, God then made a covenant with Noah as the human race was starting up again. God made a covenant with Noah and his family. And God said in Genesis 9, verse 1, "So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" And so you see, God instructed Noah in the very same way that he instructed Adam and Eve. When he told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, God was saying, "This earth is yours to fill with my people, with human beings. This earth is yours to multiply your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren." And then God said, "I give them dominion over all of the fish and all of the birds of the sky and the cattle on the earth." And so God has given us dominion over this earth. The animals, the creatures here that God has placed on this earth, we are not to worship them. We are to take care of them. We are to be stewards of them, just like we're to be stewards of our farms, of our houses, of our cars. Everything that the Lord gives us, we are to be stewards of, and we are to protect to the best that we can the animals and the fish and the resources and the creatures that God has placed here on this earth. But we are not to worship them. We are not to bow down to them. We are not to set them up as idols. And so when God created the earth and created all the beings that live on the earth, he gave man dominion and authority over it. And he repeated that with Noah. And he said to Noah in verse 5 in chapter 9 of Genesis, he said, "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of men, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man." And so when God was explaining to Noah the covenant, he said to Noah, the lifeblood, or the life, the spirit, my spirit is in the blood of man. And he said, "Whoever sheds man's blood," Genesis 9:6, "whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, Noah, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." So I want to go back and repeat there in Genesis 9:6, because this is the most important point of the covenant that God had made with Noah. He said, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." And so God takes it very personally when the innocent's blood are shed, when those who have no guilt or no shame, then God says, I take it very personally when you shed their blood. And if you think about, brothers and sisters, in regard to abortion, all of the millions and millions of babies that have been aborted, not only here in America, but around the earth, hundreds of millions, possibly even billions, when you consider China and some of the other nations around the earth, when you consider all of the numbers of babies that have been aborted, God's creation that he made in his image and he gave to man to nurture and to raise up. And when you consider all of those that have been aborted and terminated prior to their birth, it surely grieves the heart of God, and it causes him great sorrow when he thinks about all of the numbers of his creation that have been aborted and murdered before their time. And so God created a covenant with Noah, and he said here in Genesis 9, verse 8, he said, Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, As for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you. And the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant. And so God created a covenant, and he declared with Noah that my covenant shall be everlasting, and it is still in effect, and it is still in effect today. And God's everlasting covenant requires us to be mindful of the shed blood of the innocents, that there must be a payment come due, that there must be a payment come, because God says when man sheds man's blood, that the payment must come from the one who sheds the blood. And so as we think about it today, and all the governments who promote and sponsor abortion, and all the governments who authorize and acknowledge and even pay for abortion, we're very grieved that we know that we have to have a payment come due at some point in time in the future, that at some point in time God is going to say, in a generation, he is going to say, the payment is now due for all of the blood that is crying out to me from the ground, that all of the blood that is crying out to me, the shed blood of the innocents, that blood is reaching my ears, that cry is reaching my ears, and it is causing me great sorrow and great grief. And the Lord says, the bill is due, the time for me to collect is now. Well, in Numbers 35:33, God elaborates on the blood as it cries out from the ground, and he says in Numbers 35:33, you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. So that's a reiteration of what God spoke to Noah in Genesis 9:6. He says, you shall not pollute the land. And so the innocent's blood, as it collects in the land, and we think about here in America, 60 million children have been aborted since 1973, when the Supreme Court authorized basically unrestricted abortions here in this country. 60 million babies have been aborted, and the blood is soaking up into the soil. The blood has been saturating into the soil, and it cries out. The blood cries out. The blood has a voice, and it cries out from the land, just as we know that the DNA speaks to us. We can go back to a crime scene and collect blood, and we know that going back in time 15, 20, 30 years, that the DNA speaks and has a voice, and it speaks of who was there and what they were doing, possibly. And so the blood cries out, and it reaches the ears of the Lord, and it causes him great sorrow and great grief. Well, back to Numbers 35, verse 34, he says, Therefore do not defile the land which you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. Well, God dwells among the children here in America. He dwells among the children in China and in Russia and in all other countries around the earth. And through the Holy Spirit, through the believers there, he dwells in them. And they are the voice that is crying out for the children. They are the voice that is standing in the gap for the children. And so as you listen to this message today, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that I am standing in the gap for the children who have been aborted. I stand in the gap for those who will be aborted today and those who will be aborted this coming week and those who have been aborted since 1973. I stand in the gap for those who will be aborted. And I pray that if you are listening to this message today and you are considering to have an abortion or you're having some kind of sexual immorality that could possibly lead to an abortion, I pray that you would reconsider and not do that. I pray that you would cry out to the Lord and ask Him to give you the strength and give you the wisdom to have that baby and to bring that baby into fruition and to nurture that baby just as the Lord would have you to do. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 3, we read about King Ahaz of Judah. But he, Ahaz, walked in the way of kings of Israel, and did indeed he made his son pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel. And so we see the kings of the Old Testament fell into the idol worship of Molech, the god of the pagan nations who were cast out by the Lord. And so many kings fell into this practice of sacrificing their children to the god of Molech, and they did this by passing their sons and their daughters through the fire. Usually it was through using the oldest son, the son who was the most valuable prize to them, the most valuable of their children. They would pass this child through the fire and burn this child to death in a sacrificial offering to the pagan god Molech and also to Baal later on. And so God was saying to them that they would not receive his blessing. And of course we know that eventually the children of Israel disobeyed the Lord and were so disobedient and so rebellious to the Lord that he brought the enemies in. He brought foreign invaders into the land of Israel and into the land of Judah, and he allowed the invaders to take off and to take captivity the children of Israel. The 10 tribes of Israel went first, and then the 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin went 90 years later, and they ended up over in Assyria and over in Babylon in captivity, and they were being punished for not allowing the land to rest, for the Sabbath rest, but they were also being punished for their rebellion, their total rebellion, and their disregard for the sanctity of life that God had given them, the children, to raise up, and they were disobedient, and they sacrificed those children to the idol gods. Well, Psalm 106, verse 36, God is speaking about the children of Israel, and he said they served their idols, the people of Canaan, the idols of Canaan, the children of Israel served the idols of Canaan, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, and they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. In verse 39 it says, thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot for their own deeds, or by their own deeds they played the harlot. And so they were sacrificing their own children to the idols of that day, to the demon gods, and they were sacrificing their children to Molech and to Baal. And we do the same thing here in America. We don't have the names that they had. We don't have the same names on the gods and on the idols and on the demons, but in a sense we're doing the very same thing. We're sacrificing our children to idols of convenience, to idols of reputation, to idols of sexual immorality, to idols of just not wanting to curtail our sexual immorality and our lifestyles of rebellion. And so God is saying we are defiling the land. We are polluting the land, and just as he did with the children of Israel, he will eventually collect the bill, and the bill will have to be paid by those who sacrifice their children and by the man who sacrifices the blood of the innocents. Well, I don't need to remind you, brother and sister, this is a harsh message and not one that's easy to receive, but I want you to understand that God is very passionate about this. God has a will, and he has a soul, he has a heart, and he's very passionate about his creation. He's very passionate about his children. You don't have to worry about the children as far as going to heaven, the ones that have been sacrificed, the ones that have been aborted. They are in heaven. There's a special place for them in heaven for the ones who have not been allowed to live, who have been murdered in the womb. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, God wants this to stop. He wants this to stop here in America. He wants it to stop in China. He wants it to stop in Russia. He wants it to stop in every nation on the earth. And so if you're a young person listening to this today, I ask you to contemplate what is before you, the life that you're living maybe today that would possibly lead you to want to have an abortion. Or if you're an older person and you've had an abortion, I want you to repent of it and ask the Lord to forgive you, that you can cleanse your soul and cleanse your heart before you have to stand before your Creator, who created that little person in his image and placed it in your womb, or gave you the opportunity to nurture that blessed little creature that was in your womb. And so I ask you to get down on your knees and just do business with the Lord. Come clean before the Lord today, and I pray that each of you out there listening to this message would stand up against abortion in whatever way that you can. You would stand up and speak against abortion, that you would pray for your children, you would pray for your grandchildren. Just ask the Lord to give your children and grandchildren wisdom. Give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they would be able to walk with you and not be rebellious to what you have called them to do, that they would not be disregarding your word, that they would not be disregarding life that comes from your blessing and when you give the spirit into that life. And so I just pray, brothers and sisters, that you would speak against abortion, that you would take the attitude of Jesus Christ himself regarding children. And Jesus spoke in Matthew 19, verse 14. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such as these is the kingdom of heaven." Or in other words, for such the kingdom of heaven is made for these. And he laid his hands on them, and he departed from that place. And so, just as Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, let the little children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is made for such as these." And so I pray that you would pray for your children, pray for your grandchildren, pray for the babies in your family, and just encourage the children in your family to multiply and replenish the earth and to nurture that which God has given. Well, I thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. God bless you. Have a great week.